Okay, second here. Sorry about that. Okay, awkward pause, I know. Sorry, quick notes there. Take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to pick up our reading. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 this morning. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we do pray for our pastor. Please, dear Lord, I pray that you would help our pastor, that you would heal our pastor. God, I pray that you'd lay upon his heart, Lord, to go to the doctors this morning, this week, dear Lord. Lord, please, we need our man of God. We need our pastor. And, Lord, our congregation needs him. Lord, I need him. We pray, Lord, that you bless the services today. God, please, put your hand upon myself, our pastor, Lord. God, all our Sunday school teachers, Lord, please, anoint us from on high. Lord, help us to help lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. I do ask, real quickly, I'll make two quick announcements. One, I ask you to pray for me. I'll be flying down on Tuesday. I'm returning on Saturday to go down and spend about 4 days with my mother. And so I pray that you'd ask God's mercies upon that. Lord would give me a fruitful, productive trip. Going to help her out with some things down there. And so please just ask that would be a blessing. And little birdie just told me that on July 25th will be Chrissy Hillis' birthday. Hey, man, let's give. Yes. Yes, Dakota Wilson will be 17, and also Mrs. Lemley, my mother-in-law, my wonderful mother-in-law, has a birthday on Tuesday as well. And Raji, Linda had a birthday yesterday. Let's give all these birthdays a happy, a praise the Lord clap. Amen. Happy birthday to everybody. And we had yesterday we celebrated another milestone. Seems like this has been the year for milestones. Yesterday was our a service at the Long Meadow Nursing Home. And had a great day. A couple of people raised their hand for salvation. But that July 25th, so this week marks the fifth anniversary from when Brother Bill Turner, Pastor Bill Turner now, started that ministry at the Long Meadow Nursing Home. So it was good to see Tommy there yesterday. Tommy was making some calls and some visits, and that was a fantastic thing. And pray for Florence. We got to, from there, we left, went to see Florence Yost, and saw Carl Mary McDaniel down there visiting at the nursing homes. And it was a good day of visitation, ministry yesterday. And but in Daniel, the book of Daniel, the title of my message, Brother Dan, is A Life Usable by God, part two, continuation from last week's message and lesson. Last week, we touched on the first five areas that we looked in Daniel's life, where we saw some key characteristics of a life that is usable by God. Now, if I could ask you to raise your hands, is there anyone in here that wants God to use their life? Would you raise their hand? Amen. I'll put up both hands. I want God to use my life. I think part of you being here for Sunday school, you notice that there's quite a bit of space here yet this morning. Pews will be filling up for the 10:30 hour. And I thank God for everyone who shows up for the 10:30 hour. But I think there's a special crowd that desires to know more, desires to learn more, and they make that extra effort to be here an hour early in Sunday school. So I want to thank you, and I want to commend you for that. But number one, we'll take a very brief review. But take your Bible this morning, turn to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we'll real quickly touch on these. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We saw two things in this first verse. Number one, a strong foundation. Daniel here was a very young man, probably a teenager, if more than a little over than that, older than that. And he had been prepared for that hour. Someone, a Christian, a godly parent, a godly grandparent, through the Word of God, through his local, whether it was a synagogue or whether he was close enough to the temple to go there, he was taught and brought up under the teachings of the Word of God to have a strong spiritual foundation. So that when the crisis came, when the test came, he knew what God wanted from his life. Number two, we see in this verse a determination to personal purity. A determination to personal purity. He said, I won't even eat that which is set before me because I believe it is an offense to God. And we discussed last week there, his mom and dad weren't there. His teachers weren't there. His principal wasn't there. His grandma and grandpa wasn't there. His aunts and uncles weren't there. His Sunday school teacher wasn't there. His preacher wasn't there. It was just a bunch of kids his age that were there. That were of the people that knew what God wanted them to do. There was no one there but him and God to hold him accountable in his life for his personal purity. What you and I do when no one else is looking is a true hallmark of our character and of our personal dedication to purity. Daniel said, I'll not even eat that which will make me defiled in the eyes of God. A determination to personal purity. Then we saw in chapter 1, verse 17, we saw the anointing hand of God. In chapter 1, verse 17, and as for the four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Number three, we saw the anointing of God. My friends, if we're going to have a life that is usable by God, we need to have the hand of God and the Spirit of God in our life. And we said, well, how do you get the Spirit of God in our life? And we saw that in chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 18, and they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Number four, we discussed and we learned about total dependence on God. How are you and I going to get the hand of God on our life? How are we going to have a life that is usable by God? By being totally dependent on God. Totally dependent on God. Realizing that to be the man that I need to be, for you, the wife that you need to be, for me to be the Sunday school teacher I need to be, for me to be the minister, the servant of God that I need to be, it is not through my skill. It is not through my education. It is not through my talents and all those things. It is through the mighty hand of God. It is that I am totally dependent on God for God to bless in and through my life. How can you be the parent that you need to be? How can you be the student that you need to be? How can you be the person, the Christian, the employee that you need to be? You can do that by being totally dependent on God. That's how you do that. Number five, we discuss Daniel's loyalty. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 49, we see that Daniel was promoted unto the highest realms of the kingdom. And Daniel was loyal to his friends. He said, hey, king, what about, there's three guys that I want you to think about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to lift them up too. Daniel was loyal to those that God had brought into his life. Daniel didn't forget the people who had had a part in his life, who had been brought to his life from God. Daniel was loyal to them. Number six goes right along with that. And this is where we pick up today. And take your Bibles in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll reread the passage. In Daniel 3:16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, also known, and these were their Babylonian names. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in the matter. This is, of course, the burning fiery furnace. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Point number six, truth number six, a life usable by God is solid friends. Solid friends. My friends, you will rise no higher than the level of people that you surround yourself with. And that truth becomes more and more and more evident to me the older I get. Those people with whom you surround yourself, they will make an influence in your life. Daniel chose it, and as you read back in Daniel chapter 1, you can see there was a lot of Hebrew children, a lot of young people that came out of the land of Israel during the three raids of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar came in, plundered the land of Israel three different times, took three different groups. The last group was the largest group. Some thousands of people came with them. And out of those thousands of people, the Bible only mentions three associates of Daniel: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's no surprise to me that as we read in Daniel chapter 3, that these three young men had the character like Daniel. They had a heart like Daniel. They had a will like Daniel. Has it been interesting this summer? We built a new garage last year, so we're doing a lot of yard work this year and getting the whole backyard. The whole backyard was a mess, and so I had to completely redo it. Put down the best seed I could buy, the best fertilizer, and been spraying it and weeding it and all that, and I'm still getting crabgrass everywhere in my yard. Man, it makes me mad. Frustrating. One of the best therapies I have, I've got one of those dandelion diggers. It's got a handle on it and about an 18-inch metal rod and got a forked tongue like a snake on it. Man, that thing just pops them babies right out of the ground. And I love it. Every single one, I go, ha, die, you little sucker, and throw it in the bucket. It's great therapy. And but I thought, why? And I thought, man, why am I getting all these weeds? I mean, I tilled the ground down to 2 feet. 2 feet. Turned it all under. To level it all out, good soil, good preparation. And I looked over my driveway, and my whole neighbor's yard's a field of weeds. And I looked over to the next yard, up north, up west of me, in our particular, the wind always blows from the west to the east, so I'm downwind. Well, the two neighbors next to me, their yards are full of weeds. And I'm getting the overflow, and it's just tumbling across my driveway like tumbleweeds. And planting themselves in my good grass, all right. And I'm getting the overflow from their weedy yards. And as I'm out there sweating and popping them weeds out, the Lord taught me a truth: don't put your life next to a weedy life. Just like my yard is next to a weedy yard, and the reason I'm getting weeds in my yard is they got weeds in their yard. So many times the reason we have weeds in our life is because we're planning our life, we're surrounding ourselves with people with sin in their life. We're surrounding ourselves with people who do not follow the scriptures. They're not deeply committed to Christ. They're not sold out for the things of Jesus Christ and church, and the things of God. Let me tell you, folks. They may not directly influence, but some of them seeds are going to blow into your life. When you surround yourself with those things, you're going to be affected by those things. Now, your family, obviously, you can't help your family. All right, God help our families. Amen. Pray for our families. We all have family. All right, we all know what it is. You all know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, I'm advising you, one of the things we see in Daniel's life, that he had a life usable by God. He had solid friends. I told the story many times. When growing up in high school, I had a guy. He looked like my twin. Everybody, wherever we went, everybody assumed we were twins. He was about my height. He was redheaded, fair-complected. And we were like identical twins. Best of friends. Our hearts were knit together like David and Jonathan. But then I rededicated my life to Christ, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried to lead this young man to Christ. I witnessed to him, and I prayed and shed tears over his life. But my life was heading in one direction, his life was heading in a different direction. And there came a point in my life where I had to part ways with that young man, and it broke my heart. Shattered my heart, because he was my very best friend. But I'd go one way and he'd go the other way. We'd come back together. I realized something very soon. He didn't come up to my level. I had to come down to his level. And I was not pleased with my life as I was around him. I was not pleased with my language as I was around him. I was not pleased with the things that I was associated with by being around him. In our lives, in Amos, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And our lives had to sadly part ways. I still pray for him to this day that he'd come to Christ, but he never has. Some 12, 13 years later. Solid friends. So who you surround yourself with, that's one of the admonitions of coming to a good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church, is the people that you surround yourself with. You are the people that I surround myself with. When I go out to dinner many times, or when I have friends, or when I call somebody, I call the people from this church. I don't many times call the people from my work, or the people from my neighborhood, or the people from my past. I call the people with whom I go to church with. You're the people that I choose to surround myself with. Because as I look around, I see that you have some people that are also working to get the weeds out of their life. Amen? Solid friends. Going on, number seven, the seventh thing that we see in the life of Daniel that had him, that gave him a life that was usable by God is found in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, we see the next character trait. The Bible says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." As of course, we've gone through a change of leadership here. If you read up here, now we're under King Darius. Actually, Daniel's already gone through at least two administrations, King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible skips over the reign of Nebuchadnezzar's son, talks about Belshazzar, his grandson. So he's gone through at least two recorded transition of bosses, of authorities. Now a conquering king, King Darius, comes in, completely different country, completely different leadership, and comes in and says, "You know what? I like that guy. I'm impressed with that guy." You know why? Because the Bible says that he had an excellent spirit. Now remember, now mind you, this is not the young Daniel. This is the old Daniel. Now, Daniel has lived all the way through the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And now King Darius comes in. This is not the young Daniel. This is the old Daniel, the older Daniel, I should say. Don't know how old he was here. But the Bible says he had an excellent spirit. Do you know a hallmark of a servant of God is an excellent spirit? You know, there's nothing more discouraging than getting around someone who's down in the mouth. I don't watch this program, but at work they had a little. They've been doing some little skits because on a new program we're learning, and they did a thing called Debbie Downer. All right, apparently it comes from a Saturday Night Live. And never watched it, but it was as they went through and as they talked about it, she had nothing good to say, nothing positive to say, nothing uplifting to say, nothing encouraging to say. I don't want to be like that. I don't want people, and you know that there are people that are around your life that everything's negative, right? How many of you know somebody like that? All right, everybody, everything's a negative. Everything's bad. Everything's grumpy. Everything's upset. Boy, I don't want to be like that. Daniel modeled an excellent spirit. We talked about last week, we discussed his trials. We talked about his heartache. We talked about his discouragement. Daniel never knew the love of a wife. Daniel never knew the love of children. Daniel never got to see his homeland again. If anything, is now Daniel, the older man, gets to look back over his life, the life that he had to forfeit, the life that he wanted, now live a life that somebody else wanted him to lead. So many times, we feel like that. As you get, how many people I've talked to, as they're in the middle of their life, and they look at their family, and they look at their job, and they look at their career, and they say, "Man, I had such great dreams, I had such great ambitions, I had such great plans, and such great hopes for my life. And this is where I'm at. This is all I've accomplished." And they're discouraged, and they're downcast, and they say, "This is not the life I wanted to live." You have a choice right there to get better or to get bitter. And I've seen people go down both paths. And my friends, I'm challenging you today, don't get bitter. Don't get bitter at your spouse. Don't get bitter at your situation. Don't get bitter at your job. Don't get bitter at your children. Don't get bitter at God. Because getting bitter will not help the situation. Getting bitter and leaving the situation, divorcing your husband, leaving your family, it will never help. It serves nothing but to ruin your life. It does nothing but ruin your life. Choose to be better. Choose to yield your life to God. Choose to say, "Come what may, I'm going to put a smile on my face. And I'm going to live every day that I have, every breath that God gives me, to the fullest extent." Do you know why? Because my friends, let me share with you a few little truths that you can anchor your soul on. How many of you in here have been induced to the Almighty God? Anybody in here been introduced to the Almighty God? All right. That's something to say hallelujah about. Anybody in here been saved by the blood of Christ and on their way to heaven? Well, you can shout glory to God no matter how bad it gets. Anybody in here been wonderfully saved and you know that you're going to spend every day of eternity when you pass from this miserable life on the golden shores of the perfect paradise of heaven? Anybody can raise their hand and say, "I know I'm going to heaven for all eternity." You can say amen. My friends, it'll never get so bad that those three simple truths should never lift you beyond the depths of all the depression in this world. Now, I know this life hurts. I know that there are some serious downs and serious depressions and serious problems that we're going to face. But if we're going to have a life usable by God, it is making a choice to have an excellent spirit. And when people around us say, man, something about that guy. He's got an excellent spirit. He's got a good attitude. Gentlemen, real quickly, and I'll move on. Gentleman at work. He's a guard. His name's Rick. Great guy. Great guy. I see so many people talking to Rick. Here's he's a burned security guard. Not exactly the pinnacle of your career path choices. He's a burned security guard. Sits all day. Doesn't even get to carry a gun. Man, if I'm going to be a security guard, I want to at least be able to shoot somebody. Amen. You know? I mean something. Not even a can of mace. All right? He doesn't even get a nightstick or anything. All right? He gets to sit there. But you know what? And Rick's gone through. Rick's not a young man. Several years ago, Rick and his wife, many years, parted ways. His wife ended up taking just about everything he had. His retirement, savings, just about everything. But you know what? He never got better. Had health problems. Now he's got a permanent colostomy bag on him. But every day when you walk in and you ask Rick, hey, Rick, how you doing? And Rick said probably in his 60s now. Hey, Rick, how you doing? He has one answer. Outstanding. Outstanding. You know what that's classified? You know what that tells to me? He's got an excellent spirit. He's chosen not to get bitter. He's chosen to get better. That was point number 7, a life that is usable by God. Next, we look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. The next thing we see in a life usable by God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, concerning all that he did in his work. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much that he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. He was faithful. What has God given you to do? Be faithful at it. Be faithful in your marriage. Be faithful in your work. Daniel did not get to choose his career choice, his career path of choice. This job was forced upon him. I would imagine now Daniel's in his going through his elder years. At least past the midpoint of his life. Gone through different ministrations. Now a king comes in. Daniel could have died in this situation. Many times when a conquering king would come in, they'd wipe out all the leadership, start fresh. Bring in their own group, their own board of directors, their own advisors, their own overseers, their own friends. But they chose Daniel to keep Daniel on. I would imagine Daniel could have been at the point where he was like, you know, I'm just ready to sit down. I'm ready to retire. You know, I put my time in. I've done it all. I've been faithful. But the Bible says to Daniel, he was faithful in what he did. If we're going to have a life that is usable by God, we need to say, you know what? This is the area that God has given me. This is my small portion of life, and this is what I must be faithful in. I'm going to be faithful in all the other things that I want to do, faithful in all the pie and sky and dreams that I would like to do, and all the things I hope to do. No, we need to look in front of us and say, this is what God has given me. And say, this is what I'm going to be faithful with. Be faithful. Number 9. And we find this in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. The ninth thing in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The ninth thing is a commitment to write. A commitment to write. If we're going to have a life that is usable by God, it will be hallmarked by a commitment to that which is right. It is never, never, never in God's will to do that which is expedient for the sake of that which is right. How many times in my life have I looked back and I've reviewed a decision that I've had to make And I saw in the hindsight, the 2020 hindsight of life, that I chose that which was expedient, that was easiest, that which was the most opportune thing to do, instead of that which was right to do. My friends, if we're going to have a life that is usable by God, it will be hallmarked by a continuous commitment to that which is right. That which is right in our life. That which is, it is right to be in church. There's a reason why I come to church. It's not because of that man who sits in that chair right there, even though he's my boss. I come to church because it's right. I'm here at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not because of Pastor Skyver. I'm here at church because it's right. I made a decision early in my Christian life to tithe to God. Not because it was what my parents wanted me to do. Not because it was my teacher, or my Sunday school teacher, or my pastor taught me to do. I made a decision to give of my money to God because it was right. There's a reason why I've chosen to do many things in my life by the grace of God. I'm not lifting myself up here this morning. I'm testifying of the goodness of the grace of God that God has allowed me in my life. But God gives you those same decisions as well. He sets before you those same opportunities as well every day of your life. Will you do that which is right, or do that which is expedient, that which is convenient to do? My friends, if we're going to have a life that is usable by God, it will be hallmarked by a commitment to that which is right. Daniel, of course, faced great peril. He faced death in this situation for simply praying. Daniel was unwilling to alter his pattern of activities of that which he knew which was right, because of the consequences. We live in a day when there's a way in a society that is totally against consequences. And it does creep into the church. It does creep into our even though we're independent, fundamental, narrow-minded, 1611 King James Baptist. We are affected by that which is around us. There's a softening of the edges. There is a holy God in heaven who has a righteous standard for that which is right and that which is wrong. We live in as we bring in new employees at work, we bring them in big batches, 20, 30 at a time. Because of those 20, 30 at a time, you lose a couple. They're not half. A couple of them aren't going to make it. A couple of them don't even show up for training. Then the other couple of them don't make it through training. And then of the ones you get through training, half of them are no good anyway. And you get, they're like, you expect me just to show up to work every day? What are you going to give me for that? We call it a paycheck. You get it every other Friday. But I mean, you know, and I don't want to say the kids today, because half of them are kids and half of them are my age, which are still kids, amen. And you got to give them a bonus every day just for show. You got to throw a parade, da, 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 just because they showed up to work. Sad. It's a lack of commitment for that which is right. And lastly, number 10, we find in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16. Lastly, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This is to me one of the most powerful statements in all of the book of Daniel. Now, if you read up, we're in verse 16. If you look up in chapter 6 and verse 1, you see who's talking here. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. This is King Darius. Now, this King Darius came from an outside kingdom. All right, this was the conquering king that came in, killed Belshazzar that night, took over the entire kingdom, overthrew the whole country. And from verse 1 to verse 16, there was a little bit of time. But not a lot of time. We're not talking years here. We're talking a span of maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months of time. Here's King Darius. He's not from the area. He's not from the land. Never heard of Daniel before in all of his life. Comes in, sets up shop. Obviously promotes Daniel to one of the top presidents in the area. He had an excellent spirit in him. But within a very short period of time, King Darius had learned one very important truth about Daniel. We find that in verse 16. He says of Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Daniel had a productive life for God. Daniel had a productive life for God. Now, this is Daniel the aged here. All right, Daniel, the time has passed here. We're talking Daniel's probably in his up in years, probably 50, 60 years old. My friends, Daniel, even as an old man, you know, remember, they didn't live to be 90 and 100 and all them. This is not back in the book of Genesis. All right. This is the span of 70, 80, 90 years old. That was an old, old, old man. Daniel had a testimony as an old man that he continually served God. My friend, if we're going to have a life that is usable by God, it will be marked by a productive life for God. As you look back over last week, I'm going to ask you a question. What did you do for God? Could people look at your life and say, man, you served God this week? There was something you did for the Lord. And maybe that's just your husband. Maybe that's just your wife. Maybe that's just your kids. Maybe you don't live in an arena where a lot of people get to watch your life. But in the small arena of the people who do watch your life, do they say, man, you know what, that person, they served God this week. They were faithful to the Lord this week. Anybody see you with your Bible open this week? Did the Lord see you with your Bible open this week? That's the second bell and I must go. 10 hallmarks for a life that is usable by God. Now, there was none of these in here that required a PhD. None of these that required a 3-year Bible education. But they're hallmarks of a young man to a middle-aged man to an older man who put God first in his life. And made a determination that no matter what the circumstances of his life would bring him, he was going to be faithful and have a life that was usable by God. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Daniel. God, I wonder, Lord, do you allow Daniel, Lord, to know the amount of truth and, Lord, that we've dug out of his life. Lord, now these some 4,000 years later, that his life is still speaking to us. And Lord, we're learning lessons that you have shown us, Lord, as you work through his life. God, I pray. I pray for each one here that you'd work through our lives as you work through the life of Daniel. Lord, may we be grounded and settled on these very important truths. Father, please, I pray that you'd help us to have a life that is usable by you. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.